fucking thing. God is awesome. John chapter 10. Y'all stand for the reading of the word. I know you just sat down. Isn't that something? We're trying to keep up with the Episcopals. We're going to get you up now and up now and up now. Can't keep up with the Catholics, but maybe the Episcopals. John. Let me know what tomorrow is. A Monday. Yeah, tomorrow's Monday. That's right. But also, it's Independence Day. It's the day that we declared independence from England, who have become an unruly tyrant. Amen? So we're going to talk a little bit. Normally I wind up speaking on forgiveness and things of that nature and breaking sin in your life on Independence Day. But today is something a little bit different, but it's going to be okay. God's in control no matter what. Somebody say, no matter what, God is in control. That's right. Matter of fact, there's never been a time that he wasn't in control. Amen? Never was there a time that he wasn't in control. Unlike me with this. I ran out of paper last night my printer decided to die on me. Not die, but the ink ran out, and I didn't even know it was running out. And so while I was printing my sermon, I got one page. So all y'all got is one page. But thank God I got a good memory. All right. John 10 and 10. We're going to bounce around a little bit today, but we're going to talk about depression. It seems to be rampant in this place. I've got many family members. I've got people in my community. I've got people I know all over the place. I was stopped yesterday by somebody, and they told me, said, man, I just feel like I can't breathe. You know, they had suffered a lot of loss. They had this person. Y'all wouldn't know this person, but this person suffered the loss of their husband and the loss of their mother-in-law and the loss of their brother-in-law in about a two-year period. And it was all tragic and unexpected. And so the person said, I'm having problems even breathing. And so I said, well, we'll get together. And I gave her my number, and I said, we'll get together. And there's some tools, I believe, that could help you. So I and even all of us, everybody in here, I want you to point your finger at yourself right now. You know, everybody in here is susceptible to depression, and every last one of us fight, listen to me carefully, every last one of us fight a depressing spirit every day. Okay, so don't think that everybody's in here. You see me jumping and bouncing back and forth like everything's hunky-dory and cool? I fight it too. We all fight it. We got things in our life that try to get us down. So here it is. And how in the world did that get up there without the picture? Hold on. Praise God. I thought I had it right, but I didn't. There'll be something. Look, there'll be a check in the mail. For all those that paid your admission and thought you were going to get PowerPoints. Let's try this one. There we go. Now we're cooking with grease. Okay. Let's go here. All right. There we go. Now we got, now, Houston, we don't have a problem anymore. All right. Praise God. John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for all you do for us and all you said in your word that you confirm on a daily basis. We know we can trust you. We know that you've got this. We know, Lord, that there's absolutely nothing impossible for you. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to anoint us. Help us, God, to see, to know, to understand that you are here in a real way, God, and that your desire is to see us up and running and not being held back. I thank you right now for what you're doing, what you say. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let nothing be said through strife or vainglory, but let everything be said, Lord, to edify your body and to glorify your Son. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, on the way down, give somebody a high five, low five, no five, four and a quarter, four and a half, something. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I was in Greenville the other day, and I saw this sign that said, need help? It says, need help? Call Jesus. I said, that looks pretty cool. And it says 1-800-555-HELP. So out of curiosity, I dialed it. About 10 minutes later, a Mexican showed up with a tow truck. You'll get it in a minute. Amen. Hey, Sue, say amen. We're going to talk today about, and this is going to be probably some of the simplest stuff you may have ever heard on depressing depression. It's probably so as a matter of fact, I've got tons, I mean literal tons of material on breaking free from depression. And in the counseling schools that I've taken, they all tell you that we give you tools and we teach you how to use these tools, but ultimately it's up to the counselor to get what works for him and what works for the counselee. And so there's things that I use on myself and there's problems going on that help. There's times I use things on myself and it doesn't, and I kick it to the side, but I don't throw it away because it may help somebody else. So it's kind of wild the way all of this works, but know that God has got all of this in control. You know, a guy went to a psychiatrist and said, Doc, I've got trouble. Every time I get into bed, I'm sure there's somebody under it. I haven't slept in a week. I'm going crazy. He said, come to me 3 times a week and I'll cure your fears. He said, how much do you charge? He says, $100 per visit. 6 months later, the doctor met Joe on the street and said, why didn't you ever come see me again? He said, the bartender cured me for $10. He told me to cut the legs off the bed. All right. I had to get a good laugh out of that one. It says, some of y'all were enjoying it. Some of y'all are still saying, what are we doing? Amen. Okay. Depressing depression or breaking free from depression. Do you ever feel like that? Everybody's joining hands. They're all together. They're having a good time. Things are working. Things are going great. And you feel like you're all alone. You feel like you're all by yourself. You can be in a room full of people and still be all by yourself. You can be with your family who loves you and cares for you. And nothing, absolutely nothing has changed in their eyes, but you just happen to be dealing with something that's really got you pushed down. We all do this every day. There's not a person in here that does not have to fight an attack of a depressing spirit. So here's some things. I just going to kind of talk to you. Breaking free, you know, July 4, 1776, you know, now they show you this big old thing on the wall that's in the White House, and it's all over where you got all the people, all 56 guys signing the Declaration of Independence at the same time on July 4th. In all actuality, that's not the way it worked. It took a while for all those guys to come in and sign that thing. So it didn't happen all on July 4th. July 4th was the day that it started, but still, as they were signing, saying they realized that they needed to break free from England. They knew that if they, in order to be what they were called to be, this nation to be what it was called to be, in order for it to do what it was called to do, they were going to have to break free from the oppressor England, because England, although they were not in their midst, was calling all the shots. Taxation without representation, sending their lords to come in to cause us and tell us how to do things, and it just was a bad, bad situation. So they knew they had to break free in order to be this nation, this one nation under God. And so the same way today, in order for us to be what we're called to be, in order for us to do what we're called to do, we have to break free from the oppressor, Satan. Satan comes at us at all angles. And if I was just going to tell you, okay, he wants to oppress you by having you become a drug addict, or oppress you by having you with some kind of bad habit, or oppress you through sin, you'd be going, well, I'm not having that problem. A lot of Christians aren't having that problem. But I can tell you what happens to a lot of people along the way. All of us. Y'all say all of us. Matter of fact, you can just go ahead and say he's preaching. Out loud, y'all say, look at your neighbor on both sides and say, don't worry about this. He's talking about me today. All right? That way, y'all go ahead and got out your system, okay? I'm talking about me, okay? There's times where fear will break in. There's times where you just have to go and do it afraid. Amen? Like we used to tell Maddie, do it. You know, Maddie Ross, our dog, do it afraid, Maddie Ross. And Maddie Ross finally called on, and now we're pulling her back. Amen? We used to have to push. Same thing with my kids. I tell them, do it afraid, fellas. Do it afraid. Well, his tool, his greatest tool, of course, he wants to divide and he wants to conquer. And of course, we know that. But in order to divide and conquer, in order to get us to jump back into sin, any of these things, his chief tool, even with doubt, you say, well, his chief tool is doubt. No, that's not his chief tool. His chief tool is depression. It is one of the largest industries in the world right now. You feel like there's a black shadow following you all the time. There's something on you all the time. There's this bad feeling inside you. You feel like something's getting ready to happen. You got all this stuff cramming you, and you're trying to think and you can't think because all you can think about is these depressing and oppressing thoughts. And Satan will tell you, well, you're a good Christian because you're not caught up in sin and you're not out doing the wrong thing with the wrong people, but you're having a hard time right now, but it's going to be okay. But I just want you to know, you're still not worthy. You're not worthy. See, the chief tool for Satan, here it is, he's called a thief. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I'm here. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So if I could use anything, if I was Satan, I could use anything to get you. For some of you in here right now, I could come flash a bottle of wine in front of your face, or a bottle of beer, or a bottle of whiskey, or I could put a joint in front of your face. You go, I could throw some kind of lavish thing in front of you. You go, but if I hammered you enough, which you're not worthy, you're no good. This will never work out. I don't know why you even tried. Who you think you are anyway? If I hammer you with that enough as Satan, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get you depressed. And then I can win. You never step in a bar. You never step in a strip club. You never step in any of that stuff. And still, if I was Satan, I could get you, take you down without firing a shot. Wow. You see, depression steals your joy. It steals your passion. It steals your zest for life. It'll take you down quicker than anything. And what it does is, as you're fighting it, you don't realize as you're fighting depression that's what you're fighting. And by the time you've got it all figured out, you're so depressed, you really don't care. Wow. So depression will oppress you. It will shut you down. Your normal activities, you're not even doing it anymore. It'll shut you up. You used to be full of joy. You used to be full of life. You used to be full of vigor. Not anymore. And it shuts you out. Now you're not hanging around the people anymore you used to hang around with, the good folks. You're not trying to, you know, you used to be the life of the party. Now you can care less about the party. Just get me by myself. And that's where Satan wants you. When you watch, I like to watch, I love National Geographic and all those animal channels, and I love watching the animals. But there's something about that lion and those cats. It was Cat Week. And y'all remember Cat Week? It was a couple weeks ago, Cat Week. And I was watching those beautiful calves. But they would get around a herd, a big old herd of animals. They would not attack the herd. They would follow relentlessly, even putting their hunger on hold, waiting for one of the older ones or one of the younger ones to get out of the pack. And when they were by themselves, they would be attacked. Wow. That's something. You see, that's what Satan does. He wants to shut you down, shut you up, shut you out. Matter of fact, he wants to make you forget who you are. We talked about this, talking about identity now on Tuesday nights. And my identity is not in my job. My identity is not in my family. My identity is not in my church. My identity is in God. That way you can take anything else away from me. I can still stand strong because I'm a child of God. Amen? If you realize your identity is not in anything around you, your identity is in Jesus Christ and the cross, then you can withstand any attack. You can win because you will know who you are. But when you get depressed, you even forget who you are. And watch this. Depression silences you into thinking it's the boss. I mean, get you and hogtie you. Sit you in that chair and say, don't get up. And all you can answer is, okay. So now, if we've got this going on here, then how do we break free from depression? This is going to be some of the simplest steps that I've ever taught on breaking free from depression. And matter of fact, if you see some of this stuff, don't you say that there ain't no way, then 86 it. But I promise you, if you look at this and think about it, something special is going to happen today. All right? So here we go. Number one. And this is a hard one because we're taught to deny ourselves. Right? As a Christian. Number one. Believe you are worth fighting. All this, how many's been taught? And it's the truth. We are to deny ourselves. I must decrease that he increases. How many remembers that? And I try to decrease as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a lot of times I do my best to decrease. But at the same time, you got to understand because who you are. There's only one of you in this world like you. Somebody say praise God. Amen. There's only one like you. And so believe that you are worth fighting for. You see, let me ask you a question. Anybody ever had a house guest that just wouldn't leave? Huh? There's a movie with Sinbad called House Guest. He's running from the mob, and he winds up there thinking he's a dentist. Y'all remember seeing that movie? It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. You know, and house guest. Well, depression is like a house guest. They just won't leave. You know, and when you got somebody as a house guest, you try to take care of them. You don't let them wash the dishes. Oh, I got that. You're my guest. Well, here, let me take you out to supper. No, you're my guest. I'll take care of it. Blah, 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 blah. Well, sometimes we treat depression like it's a house guest. We cater to it. Matter of fact, we cater to its every need. We listen to what it says. And it says things like, well, you might as well. Or try this one. Nobody cares about you anyway. You ever heard that one? Or you don't deserve that job. You don't deserve to be happy. You don't deserve. Or here's a good one. You'll never be good enough. Wow. You ever heard any of those statements popping at you constantly? Do you know that Satan will come at you and he will talk to you? You know how he talks to you? Listen to this carefully. Do you know how Satan talks to you in your head? He most of the time uses your voice. Huh. That's how he's so convincing. Y'all don't shout me down now. He uses your own voice. So you hear yourself talking to you. It'd be different if he comes and said, my name is John P. Devil. I'm here to tell you you're no good. You go, get out of here. Get behind me, Satan. But when I hear David Linton's voice going, you know, buddy, you know, not buddy, I say, you know what, that was stupid. Matter of fact, you're stupid. Why are you even trying anything? Because you're stupid. and I'm hearing that in my voice, I'm catering to it. So it's important. Listen to me carefully. It will hang around and hang around forever. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take charge of this voice in your head, this unwelcome house guest that has disguised itself as you. And I want you to tell him it's overstayed its welcome. It's time to hit the road. Y'all try it right now. Try it with me. Okay, watch this. Listen. Satan, you've overstayed your welcome. It's time to hit the road. Isn't that cool? I've even gone to my door sometimes, opened my door and said, get out! Just get out! He said, well, you're a child of God. You can't be possessed. No, but I can be oppressed. And I can be depressed. Oppressed is when he's grabbing me. Depressed is when he's pushing me down. And so that's possible. The Bible says it's very, very easy. He can do that if you let him. So why should I worry about fighting for me? Why am I worth fighting for? I'll fight for my kids. I'll fight for the church. I'll fight for you. But why am I worth fighting for? Why would I want to fight for me? Why would you want to fight for yourself? Oh, I love it. I'm glad you asked that question. Well, look at that baby. Isn't that baby cute? Amen. It was so cute. And Brother Wayne brought his granddaughter up today. It was so awesome. Those little kids coming up and all those kids taking communion was just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I could see Jesus standing right over somewhere just smiling. Amen. So watch. Psalm 139 and 13. We're going to find out why you're worth it. It says, you did for me, for my inward parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. I will confess and praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful, and for the awful wonder of my birth. Wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows right well. So watch. To knit. He says he's knit us. He knit us. I love that. Knit us. My mama used to knit. I never figured it out. I watched Jeannie knit. I watched some of the other ladies knit. It aggravates me. My favorite cartoon of all was a BC comic, where a BC comic said, see mommy knit. Second slide, see cat play with knitting yarn. Number three, see mommy stab cat with knitting needle. Number four, see cat leave ball alone. All right. Then knit me. So here's what's so cool about knit. I love it. I mean, people on Tuesday night have heard this already. But look, to knit means, first there's got to be a plan. Nobody just goes up and sometimes they start knitting, but eventually they got it figured out what they're going to do with it. If it all figured out. And so I'm going to make a sweater, I'm going to make a scarf, I'm going to make socks, I'm going to make booties, whatever. So there's a plan. But if I'm planning to make a scarf, then I've got to have a pattern. If you don't, you're going to have two socks two different sizes. You're going to have a sweater with one arm too long, one arm too short. My wife did that before she learned how to pattern it correctly. Amen. So I had to walk around my first sweater like this. How does it fit, honey? It's fitting good. Matter of fact, as long as I walk like this, I'm doing fine. And it fits like a glove. Yeah. All right, so you got to have a pattern, and then you got to have a purpose. I when he gets through, it's going to keep that person warm. It's going to keep that person happy. It's going to be used for those doilies on the table. That Afghan, back when I was a little boy, everybody made Afghans. We had Afghans all over the place. You know, I thought it said Afghanistans. The Afghans. All right, so number one, believe you're worth fighting for. How many know now? If you haven't already, and you ain't got to raise your hand, but how many know that you're worth fighting for? Because you're uniquely and wonderfully made. God has a specific plan for your life. And part of what you're going through is the pattern. Whew. Because without the pattern, you couldn't have a purpose. And our purpose in life, all this stuff that's happening along the way, helps us be ready for His purpose. Okay? So number one, believe you're worth fighting for. Number two, count your blessings, name them one by one. Nobody, y'all don't get out much, do you? Right. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings. I done forgot it. Okay. I don't get out either. Count your blessings. When you're being depressed, what he starts doing is he gets out a whole list and starts shooting the bad stuff. matter of fact, we're going to talk about this anyway, but how many, when you start, I won't say fighting, but get in a high-powered discussion with your spouse or children or a close friend, and as you're in this high-powered discussion, all of a sudden one pulls out something and says, I can beat that, and they pull out something worse. Then somebody else pulls out something worse, and before you're over with, one will say, I got you, I'll beat. And he comes in with his big old long list of what you never done, never did right, what could have gone wrong, did it wrong, should have, or shouldn't have gone wrong. And that's what Satan does to us. But you know, there's one thing that psychologists, pastors, scientists, everybody talks about this. The attitude of gratitude. If you can learn to be happy and be thankful, if you can learn to be thankful for what God has done for you. You say, he's not done anything for me. Yes, he has. You walked in here on your own, didn't you? What else has he done? You got a job? Okay, all right, I'll give you that. You got a family? Okay, I'll give you that. Okay, you got life? Okay, you got eternal life? You know, I got in the elevator yesterday with some ladies going to see Sister Dorothy. And I got in and said, and the two old ladies said, you going up or down? They said, we going down. I said, good, I'm going down now, but I'm going up when I die. One lady's looking at me like, yeah, okay. When you learn to be thankful for what you got, you will learn that it will affect every area of your life, from you to your people around you, to your home, even your finances, even your work. Once you learn to be appreciative for what you got. And so when you get depressed, it's right the opposite. It negatively affects every area of your life. It'll seem like as Satan's talking to you, nothing's good enough. You don't have the right job. You're not the right person on that job. You don't make enough money on that job. Your kids aren't as good as the other kids. They're driving you crazy. Your car is not a good car. Blah blah blah. And before you know it, everything you got is. Because depression gets you in there. You know, it distracts us. Now, here, I want you to look at this. Hedonistic adaptation. Thank you. I keep saying it so I can get it out right. Have you ever got around somebody, and when you first got around them, you thought they were awesome? You could find no wrong with them. And after being with them for a while, you could find no good. Did the person change? No. Then why is it when you first get around, when you first get married, you're dating your wife or your husband, and you first get married, oh, they're so sweet. And I have come to my office with a premarital counselor, and they go, I just love him so much, I could eat him up. And 6 months later, she said, I wish I had him. Hedonistic adaptation is where familiarity and or depression can cause you to lose focus of all the positives in your life and all you see is negatives. It happens to our spouses. It happens to our children. It happens to us. It happens on our jobs. Everything's going good. Everything's going fine. All you see is good, good, good. And just like that, you see no good. Only bad. Now, let me ask you a question. Which side of that coin you want to be on? If nothing's changed, then why have I changed? It's because of that. I choose which side of the coin I'm going to live on. So let me tell you, here's the challenge. Here's the simple stuff, simple. Ready? Make a list and put it somewhere where it will keep finding you. Hear that. Make a list and put it somewhere where it will keep finding you. I remember when I'm going through things, I'll get Bible verses, I'll tape them up on my rearview mirror. No, you don't tape anything up on your rearview mirror. Matter of fact, if the law stopped, you said, what's that? That's my Bible verse for today. They said, well, here, we're going to give you your Bible verse. Does your Bible verse say, obey, give unto Caesar what's Caesar, what's the Lord's, the Lord's? Because I'm giving you a ticket, Mr. Clinton. On my sun visor, I'd put it up there. Or I'd put it on top of my Bible, in my Bible, back of my Bible, put it on a pencil, put it in my notebook, put it in the front of my notebook, put things up there. So every time I turn around, when I'm pulling up something that's telling me, look what God has done, or trust what God can do. Because hedonistic adaptation and depression and Satan, all of it together, will keep telling me all the things are bad, 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 bad. You want your dog to be, you want your dog to be, not be a good dog, you just keep telling that dog, you're a bad dog, you're a bad dog, you're a bad dog. You know what? They might not understand the words you're saying, but they sure feel what you're saying. And if all you keep saying is, you're a bad dog, bad dog, bad dog. So I'm very careful how I use that with my dogs. You take that same dog and go, you're such a good girl. This morning I had to dope up one of them because of the thunderstorm. We had those little pills, and I tried to get liquid so I could get it, but she'll spit liquid out. So this morning I took the 4 pills, and I forgot to put it in her food. That was my fault, so I took it and I opened her mouth, and I stuck it down her throat, and I started doing like this, and she's going, rrr. And all I said was, good Inky, sweet Inky. Well, you can do this, ain't you? Precious little dog. And she went, I'm like Stevie Wonder. So watch. Psalm 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. He saved me. He's done things in my life that nobody else can do. Put this stuff around. Count your blessings. All right? Now, number three. See, now, I was smart. I brought a lifesaver. Because I know I'm allergic to plastic flowers. Okay. Number three. What's that? Kitten's looking in the mirror and seeing a lion. See that? Have you ever done that? Or have you looked in there and saw Barney fight? Have you ever looked in there and did like this and saw Pee Wee Herman? Here the little kitten's looking up and seeing the lion. What matters most in your entire life after God is how you see yourself. Not how I see you. It helps to know how I see you if it's positive, but if it's negative, it's not going to help. What's going to help you more than anything in this world in depression is knowing that you're special, that God's got a purpose for you. You may feel like a kitten, but if you can look in there, you would see a lion. So watch this. Be aware of your thought life. When you're depressed, I can tell you, I can be a prophet right now, and I won't miss it. Get ready. When you're fighting depression, you'll replay your regrets. You'll rehash old wounds. You'll rehash conversations that hurt you or hurt somebody else. You'll think about how bad things are. You'll think about how many times you have fallen. It's constantly replaying in your head. It's a record. Satan keeps playing it, and playing it because he's a thief, and he knows if he keeps playing that, he don't have to take you to the bar. He doesn't have to take you down on the corner and get you to buy drugs. He can do just this right here, and he can stop you dead in your tracks, playing it over and over and over and over and over and over again. So what you got to do? You got to learn to change the record. You know, how about the serenity prayer? God grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So think about your thought life again now. We're going to talk about the thought life just one more time. We can think about our past. We can think about our past and think about how bad things are. Or we can think about how good things can be. Yeah, I'm not going to deny there's problems. But somebody came to me and my family only a couple months ago. Person came to me and my family. And I got, you know, the Lintons and the Dunnings. You know, wow. They could have several spinoff comedy shows and or real life shows, couldn't it, DC? They could have, what do you call the things? Life shows. What do you call the things? Where the reality shows. Yeah. Okay. And then if we start throwing in, the rights. Wow. By the time we get through, we could have a whole network covered with just the rights, the Lentons, and the Dunnings. Amen. So here's what it is. This person comes to me and is fussing with me. And said, don't you know, hadn't you seen, haven't you heard, have you been there, blah, 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 blah. And I said, sure. I said, and the point is? Anyway, but you don't understand, blah, 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 blah. And I said, and you don't understand. God's in control. I said, there's never been a day he wasn't in control. And even when I thought he weren't in control, he was still in control. Whether I felt it or not, he was still in control. And I said, I've noticed that every time I try to fix it myself or try to get in the middle of it, I mess it up. But if I back up and let God handle it, it always winds up working for our good. That's not my word. That's his word. That's not just his word. That's his promise. And the person said, well, what do you call it? I said, I call it living by faith. Another person said, you're crazy. I said, yeah, and I'm loving every minute of it. You see, we can think about how bad things are. We can think about how things could be. Yes, there's problems, but they're going to be better. And I don't have to think about every time I've fallen. God, you know, God doesn't count how many times you fail. God counts how many times you got back up. He said, the righteous man fall, he'll get up seven times, meaning complete. That he'll get up, that he's there, God's going to help you. Everything's cool if you'll trust him. So here we go. Here's a couple of... Focus on moving forward in spite of what you see. Isn't that the Red Sea story? The Red Sea's there. And Moses goes, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. For this army you see behind you today, you'll see no more. Then he turns around and says, okay, God, what we do next? And look at, read it. God says, why are you talking to me? Read it. Exodus 14, read in there. Why are you talking to me? I told you to go forward. But God, there's a Red Sea in front of us. I said, just hold out the rod and watch me do my work. In other words, don't be led by fear. Don't be led by your thinking. Be led by his word, by his power, by his spirit, by his anointing. Let it lead the way and watch what it does. And of course, it parts. They go in the water. And then when they walk across on dry ground, somebody said, no, it wasn't dry ground. It was only ankle-deep water. I said, well, that's the biggest miracle then. They said, why? I said, because he drowned Pharaoh's entire army in ankle-deep water. It was dry ground. And it come back on. So here we go. Ready? Get ready. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. If you think you can't, you can't. If you think you're done, you're done. If you think that you'll never get it, you'll never get it. If you think you can never accomplish anything, you'll never accomplish anything. God says, not me, as you think in your heart, so are you. That family member getting all bent out of shape because I was smiling. Bent all out of shape because I was believing God. You know what? That family person that I'm talking about is still frowning, and I'm still smiling. Amen. And God's working. So Proverbs 4:23. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. When it's talking about your heart, there it's not talking about a fighting heart. It's talking about your mind. Watch your mind. Watch what you put in. Watch what comes out. Make sure you learn how to divide it. All right? And then finally, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets up itself against the true knowledge of God, we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Watch your thought life. Number two. This is all connected together. They look familiar. Anybody can think about that? Here he is, you're going, you can do it. No, you can't. It'll bless you. No, it won't. It'll make God, it'll let you see just how big God is. No, it won't. It'll make you see how stupid you are. There's a badminton match. There's a volleyball match going on. You're his at the volleyball. And Satan. And angels. So watch. Watch your self-talk. Directly connect with your thought life, all right? Words either build us up or they tear us apart. They make us feel like we're on top of the world, or just as easily they can break us in half. Our words. You know, words are containers of power. You can do more with your words. That's why diplomacy is so awesome. Because words are containers of power. We can't control what people say about us. But I can control what I say about me. I got some people to say, you know, wow, he's awesome. I got some to say, who is he? Who does he think he is? Yesterday I was with Anna Lane and Emmy, and Daniel's off working. And so these smartphones are pretty cool. I took a picture of Anna Lane and sent it to Daniel. So I took a picture of Emmy and sent it to Daniel. And I had this thought. And I said, I know what. I will get them to say, hey, Daddy, we love you. Let's see if I can find it here. This would be so awesome. You can hear this. Phones are so awesome, aren't they, nowadays? Let's see. Ready? Let's try it. What you say about yourself, wow, can have a big meaning on what's going on in your life. Words are powerful. They carry momentum. They carry energy. They even determine what direction you're going in. Get ready. We're almost through. I told you it wouldn't be too long. Too long. Somebody's in there self-talking right now. Heal. Y'all refocus. Ready? Refocus. No, be careful, because I'm going to step out on a limb here. And when I step out on a limb, just know that this counts for everybody, me included. This is not somebody I'm picking on as one person. This is everybody. Get ready, because this one, if you ain't wearing steel toes, could hurt. But it's not meant to hurt. It's meant to heal. Ready? When you're depressed, I want you to remember something. It's not about you. If you vote vegetables, make sure it's not canned vegetables. It's not about you. Satan wants to make you think it's about you, or make you so tied up in yourself that you don't understand. See, depression makes us feel unworthy. And therefore, we isolate ourselves. It's about all the good that you could be doing and all the people you could be helping. But you can't, because Satan's got you depressed. Think about all the people that you could be changing lives. And think about all the things you could be doing and the awesome things, ministry and stuff. But you're depressed. And because you're depressed, you can't see out the window. All you can do is look in the mirror. God don't want you looking in the mirror. God wants you looking in the window. All right? So now, get ready. When we're isolated, all we do is think about ourselves. Or think about how bad it was and how stupid we were and how we said the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong people and blah, 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 blah. If this hadn't happened, if that had happened, and then here's something that's really bad. If you're not careful when you're depressed, there's a strange phenomenon that happens. When you get depressed, you can fall into something called the victim mentality. Where you're the victim and everybody's fighting you and everybody's coming against you. But you're the victim in your eyes, but you become the villain in the people that you think are attacking you in their eyes. Wow. That is such a wild thing. Here you are. You are a victim in your eyes. And as you're trying to reason it and trying to work it and trying to, and you pull away and you start pulling away and don't act like yourself, you become a villain in their eyes. Wow. Have you ever had somebody say you're just not acting like yourself lately? Or, I'm scared to say anything to you. I'm scared to talk to you. Or I used to love to hang out with you. Not anymore. Remember. But in your eyes, when you're depressed, you're thinking, well, they don't want to be around me anyway. Victim mentality, but perceived as the villain. Wow, that's some tough stuff. Get ready, we're almost through. Believe it or not. I told you I ran out of ink. Not in here on the paper. I only got one piece of paper. We done passed that a little while ago. As a matter of fact, all I got here is my jokes. And then y'all didn't even laugh at that, so. Get the focus off yourself. How do you do that? I have seen people that were literally down in the bed sick because of physical ailments and or because of mental ailments. And I would tell them this. I'd say, look, I'm going to the nursing home. Would you like to go with me? I'm going to the hospital. Would you like to visit with me at the hospital? And I love it because you get them there, and as you begin to take them out, and they begin to start focusing on the people there and seeing people in pretty bad shape with other ailments and maladies, when you see this, all of a sudden now they don't see their problem quite as bad, and they feel better about themselves. So that's why Satan wants to isolate you and keep you in, because he wants you to think that they're attacking you, people are attacking you, that the depression is getting you. But instead, if you'll reach out and help somebody else, whenever I'm feeling bad, I go to nursing home. I go to the hospital. It's amazing how it helps. Get the focus off yourself. Do something for somebody else because it really does help. All right, get ready. We're see that thing drop down. It said big, dig deep. That thing fell way on down. Watch this. There it goes. Ready? This is cool. Dig deep. Wake up, y'all. It's all right. I'm almost through. I told you that. How many times have I said it? 3, 4. Okay, here we go. Dig deep quickly. Watch this. I'm going to tell you something else. This will help you get free from depression. I know you might not like this, but it's another thing that's going to really help you. Look, every successful business knows that taking inventory is essential to success. If you don't take inventory, you don't know if tools are missing. If you don't take inventory, you don't know if product is missing. If you don't take inventory, you don't know if raw product is there. You take inventory to make sure that everything that's supposed to be there is there. And whatever isn't supposed to be there is not there. Okay? So here's what you do. Please do this today. If you're having a problem with this, you ready? I didn't mean to put it all down like that so this all came at once. That's all right. Take a second and list everything that is not working in your life. And take a list on the other side and everything that is working. This is working in my life. This is not working in my life. Write it all down. After you write the things that are working in your life and things that aren't working in your life, there's one more. The thing that you didn't like. The thing that you don't want to talk about. The thing that you just can't deal with. That holds the key to your freedom. Good stuff here. List of what's working, what's not working, and after you put it all down there, dig a little deeper. And the stuff that you don't want to talk about, don't want to deal with, if you deal with that, freedom is right around the corner. And then, ask for help. It's okay. It's fine. You're not crazy. Matter of fact, if you were the craziest part is not asking for help. You don't have to carry this weight on your shoulders. Talk to someone who's been there. Bethany told me yesterday, Bethany's in this place where they do drug rehab, alcohol rehab, life rehab. And she called me yesterday and she said that they've accepted her, so she's going to be there for a while. And she told me, she said, what's so awesome about the whole thing is everybody that works there, All these big people that work there, every last one of them, have been where all those people have been. All of them are former drug addicts, former alcoholics, former self-abusers of some way. And so they're now there telling about the power of God and how God helped them. So, look, and then ask God. Find somebody you can talk to, but then ask God to help you, to hold you, to carry you. It's okay. My friend, let's try that. Oh, watch this. Get ready. We're going to do it together. Say, ready? Because sometimes it's kind of hard for the He-Man guys to do this. Ready? Lord, help me. Hold me. Carry me. And then let him. Wow. That's awesome. You see, Jesus already did all the heavy lifting on the cross. He did the heavy lifting. So here we go. Here we go. I love that paper right there. Ready? Ask God to help you, hold you, carry you. Then let him. Here we are. We're closing. I want you to look at this scripture with me quickly. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. It's about the man at the pool of Bethesda. After this, there was John chapter 5, verse 1. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there's at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And it's a great multitude of impotent folk, and blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. He'd been sick for 38 years. Wow. Jesus said, saw him lie and knew that he had now been there a long time in that case. He said unto him, will thou be made whole? Have you ever had one of those where you want to go, duh? Will you be made whole? And the infant man answered him, sir, I have no man where the water's troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now watch this. He is actually saying, I know I'm sick and I know there's an answer, but I don't have anybody to help me. I can't do it on my own. And I don't know how. And I actually... it's not my fault, it's their fault. Jesus asked him a simple question. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to get better? Do you want to get out of this? I'm here today to ask you. Do you want to get out of depression? Do you want to get out of that depressing hold? You know, some of us right now, if you can see the wrestling match going on, Satan might not have you down, but he's got you in a headlock. No pun intended. He's got you in a headlock. And he's telling you all kinds of things. Matter of fact, he might even be giving you a noogie. Do you want things to change? Do you want it to be made whole? So number one, respond. Number two, instead of talking about all the reasons why you can't be healed, but if you only knew how bad I had, if you only knew what the triggers were, if you only knew where I've come from, if you only knew what was still banging on my head, that's what he was trying to tell Jesus. And Jesus said, stop talking. Do something. So he responded, do you want to be made whole? Yes. Then quit blaming everybody else. Quit blaming everything. Quit blaming the system. Quit doing all this stuff. Do something. What should we do, Jesus? That thing that is carrying you. Oh, listen carefully. The bed. Thing that was carrying that man, God said, you need to carry it. Wow. Some of us have got things carrying us in the wrong direction, beating us up, taking us down. It's got control of us, and we need to take control of it. Don't let it carry all the pieces. So the responsibility, take up thy bed, and then receive. He picked up his bed and he walked. Something he ain't done in 38 years. He walked. Today. That's a whole nother sermon that'll come later on. But right now, you feel like that? God wants to break those chains. How do you do it? Follow some of these steps I showed you. Dare to step forward and dare to whatever's carrying you. You decide, instead of it carrying you and controlling you, you control it. You pick it up and you take it out of the waste can and drop it in that waste can. And watch what God can do. Y'all guys come here and play something. Watch what God can do. We can depress depression before it kills us. We can depress depression before it gets the best of us. God is in control. God is in control. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. And everybody that will, you got a special need, I want you to come on up. You just want to pray and talk to him. Come on up. If you know you've got something carrying you, and the solution is for you to carry it, get control, and come on. Come on. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. All that will, come and pray. Come and pray. God's got this. God's got it. Father, we love you and we praise your name. We thank you, God, that you help us. Lord, that man, 38 years, he responded. Do you want to be made whole? Of course I want to be whole, may have made whole, but look at all the things that are against me. And he said, I weren't asking you what was against you. I was asking you, you want to be made whole. If you want to be made whole, then all that junk that's carrying you, you get control of it and you carry it. And watch it loose you and free you. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. 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 God's got this. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. God's got it. God's got it. God's got this. I know it's 4th of July weekend. I know there's a lot of people off visiting and traveling and vacationing, and that's cool. That's fine. And maybe you wanted to go somewhere today too, but something kept telling you, no, you need to be here. I can tell you, this is why. God wants you to quit looking at the reasons why not and focus on the why I can. Focus on why I can and watch him. Watch him. Watch him. God is able. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, 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 glory. God is in control. God is in control. God is in control. Thank you, Father. All together again, out loud. God, hold me. Help me. Carry me. Hold me. Help me. Carry me. Thank you, Lord. I'm breaking free. Go ahead and say it. I'm breaking free. I'm breaking free. I'm breaking free. Tuesday night, we're talking about identity. Last week, we talked about identity crisis. This week coming up, we're going to dwell a little deeper in that. But it's some good stuff. Eddie told me that I should consider changing what I say about Tuesday night, not necessarily on the signs or anything, but called Tuesday night, what'd you say called? Ministry school. Ministry school, because all this stuff you get is some awesome ministry tools. And people are telling me all the time, man, I'm so glad we were in it, because here's what it helped. It helped me when I faced this with this person or that person. I was able to minister this person, that person more, because the tools were in my hand. Tools were in their hand. So, that, and then next week, next Sunday, is going to be awesome too. How do I know? Because God's going to be here. Amen? Let's all stand. Brother Doug, we dismiss us in prayer, please. Don't forget to pray for Sister Dorothy. She's going to be going to Ridgewood for rehab in a couple of days. So remember her in prayer. Right now, she's still at Beaufort County Hospital. Go ahead, Brother Doug.